out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 466. This is the cyclical edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. If I can get it out, cyclical. That's 466 shows right in a row, if not a little bit delayed, much like this episode was. I seriously hope that you are having a fantastic week. Hopefully everything will just sort itself out and we'll be able to get on with things. It's kind of fun to see all the different stuff that's happening in the news lately, and I want to make sure that I can get it up front and personal to you right away. So if you are looking for this podcast, it can be found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for those of you who are spelling and pretty much anything else challenged. It's not too hard. It's actually spelled incorrectly, this I know, but it was supposed to be the Caffeine Nation, and the E just looked a little weird there. So to be properly caffeinated, you need the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news, which is what we attempt to give you. So if you would like to send a comment, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else in our general direction, please feel free to fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com, spelled the same way, the whole nine yards. All right, there's also a couple other different ways you can get a hold of us as a unit, us being me, pretty much, for the most part. You can head on over to twitter.com/caffeination. You just head on over to the website and check out the rest of the stuff that we have to offer for you. We have a pretty good show lined up. I actually wrote a post and posted it last night to kind of explain what was happening. But the long and the short story of it was that the more I tried to do things, the more the little girl woke up, who woke the boy up. And when by the time she went down, he was up, and I was arguing with him in the hallway. And just long story short, a little bit too late, just didn't end up happening. So decided to cut everything out and redo this. I actually got to do a little bit more research over lunch today, so it was kind of fun and cool to do that as well. So you got what we got going here now. All right, might as well get right on into it. But before I do, I wanted to make mention of the winners of the Buckyballs Be Thankful giveaway. So I'd like to send a huge congrats out to Norbert, Russell, and Eric. If you submitted an entry, and I know there were a couple people who did, and unfortunately I was not able to pick you for this, I would highly suggest you stick around, because that is not going to be the only giveaway that we have in the future. We have a lot of fun stuff happening. The 5th anniversary of the podcast is actually coming up, so it's going to be all kinds of crazy cool stuff that's going down. So I apologize to everybody who didn't get in on this, but again, congratulations to Norbert, Russell, and Eric for staying tuned and for being thankful for what they were. So I was going to read it all out, but there's so much stuff to actually do here. I just wanted to make sure that I got everything in. All right, first up in the Geekcraft section, if you are unfamiliar with the podcast, this is how we do. First section is Geekcraft, second section is food and caffeinated bits. There's a new little mini section in the middle of Geekcraft I'm going to get to in just a second. My mom actually, believe it or not, helped me label it, because I've been going off on a couple rants recently, so she said I had to get down from my soapbox. My nickname on the site and elsewhere has been Puzzle, P-Z-U-L. You replace the A with a Z, my first name, Paul, and that's how you get it. So this is now the Puzzle Box. I'm going to stand on the soapbox just for a little bit and talk, as I have been doing recently, and until somebody really flips out or I start mentioning any of the unmentionables in a show, then that's where we are. We are, of course, a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everybody's listed over at techpodcast.com. We are a family-friendly show, so you're not going to hear any naughty bits on this, but we might talk about them and link to them in generally euphemistic terms, so let's just put it that way. But it is a completely work-safe show, so there you go, and here we are. All right. First up, have you been gawkered? Well, the easiest way to check that out is to actually head on over to an interesting and easy website called DidIGetGawkered.com. That's DidiGetGawkered.com. There is a place called Gawker Media. They run a host of different websites, anything from Gawker, Deadspin, Kotaku, Jezebel, IO9, Jalopnik, Gizmodo, Lifehacker, Fleshbot. There's a whole bunch of other different ones. Stuff up there. By the way, Fleshbot is an incredibly not safe for work site, so just in case you're searching around because you thought it had a weird name, it is exactly what it sounds like. Moving on. All right, the idea behind it is Gawker Media runs all of them, so they share a lot of information between the sites. Apparently, there's a universal commenting account, so if you had an account on one, you basically had an account on any of them, and they run a lot of comment-driven chats with people. So it's like, if you're not used to it, you go over there, there's somebody on the other end of the chat, there's like a celebrity or something, and they're trying to promote things, they're answering questions from people. It's all really cool, but it all happens in chat. Well, over the weekend, they were hacked, and a good portion, if not all, of their user database, that is a MD5 cache of all of the email addresses and the passwords and everything else that was revealed. So basically they have name, email address, and password for a whole bunch of different people. So they posted it online. So there's two different ways you can go. First of all, you can get over to Gawker.com, or did I get Gawker, and actually check out to see if your account was hacked. If it was, immediately change your password. Not only on all the Gawker media sites, but on any of the other sites that you might even have a similar password on. So, for instance, you used the email address that you normally use to sign on to Gawker. Anywhere else, change those accounts first. If it's possible that that account could have been compromised or you notice things that shouldn't have been done, then you really do need to take extra steps to actually secure yourself. But head on over to Did I Get Gawkered, enter your email address, and see if you ended up coming up. I did not end up getting Gawkered or anything else, but it was nice to be able to kind of sort that all out. So there's a link to the simple version of it, and then there's a longer explanation over it in about.com article that I had to link up as well, so hopefully you find that interesting and useful. The more often that I see these little hack attempts come out, I'm going to make every effort that I can to notify people of them. And so, hey, if you happen to be in a box and the only thing you do is listen to my podcast and maybe wander around the internet every once in a while, but I know not everybody's not always checking their email. Hopefully this will be able to help you get that done. All right, now stepping up onto my little soapbox, the puzzle box as it is, we're going to talk again a little bit about WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is still going strong, and if you were unaware of where to actually get it, since WikiLeaks.org is actually shut down, I have a link up to it. It's WikiLeaks.ch. Now, a lot of different people have been coming out on different sides of the issue recently. I personally am, you know, completely full disclosure here, I support the majority of what WikiLeaks does. I think that it is an invaluable resource to have somebody who is willing to put out documents that other people leak. If these documents can be out in a public space and they are of national concern, or even they just reveal things that were lies that were told to people in the American public, wherever else they may be, then I think they really need to become, they need to come out into the light of day, and they actually, people need to be held accountable for the lies that they're telling, especially classified ones. So beyond all that, there's a lot of other problems that are coming out about this. First of all, Assange was actually, Julian Assange, who's the head and the figurehead of WikiLeaks, he's the managing editor, was arrested on rape charges in, he was actually being hunted down. There's a large contingent of people who believe that these charges are largely trumped up in response to the fact that the U.S. is none too happy with the dude. Here is my thing. I think that these charges should be investigated to the absolute full extent, even if you have in every bone in your body, even if you think that every single one of these charges is trumped up. You don't ever want a charge of rape or a charge of molestation or anything else like that to go uninvestigated because you think that it might not be be warranted. Even if you read all the details of the case and it seems ridiculous, and I'm not making an argument one way or another about this, but I really honestly think that, you know, due process needs to be taken, and they really need to look it over. So with all of that, there's a little offbeat help that ended up coming up to Assange's aid, and Michael Moore, no matter what you think of him, he is an entertaining media personality. If you think he's completely off base and a nutcase, then you know what? You're not his target demographic. If you think he is brilliant and all of his stuff comes out roses, then you might be the people he's talking to. Whatever you think about him, you cannot argue the fact that he is an incredibly passionate gentleman. And he has a very effective media strategy. His strategy is to make people feel one way or another. So I think even if you think he's completely ridiculous, you owe it to yourself to at least look at how he thinks of things. I think the same thing of the people who are on the other side of things. Here's the thing. He posted an article over at michaelmoore.com, and a couple other different places picked it up as well, basically saying he was footing the bill for Julian Assange's bail money. He thinks the charges are trumped up. You know what? Let's go for it. I think that a lot of the other side of this, a lot of the people in the United States that are speaking out against everything, specifically, which we're going to get to in a couple minutes about the Espionage Act, for instance, so Senator Joe Lieberman and a couple other people have started bringing up this ancient piece of legislation. There's a lot of calls for him to actually be assassinated. We've talked about this. I don't ever want to be a part of a country or anything that starts talking publicly about assassinating people who are not American citizens or even who are American citizens. I think it is an incredibly ridiculous comment to make, and it's obviously supposed to enrage and you know, you don't ever want somebody who's a fanatic for one side or another making that kind of decision or making that kind of logical leap and actually saying getting right over there. So Michael Moore put his stuff out there, and there's a lot of interesting things that are actually coming of it. First of all, the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act was put out in 1911. It was actually put out by Woodrow Wilson, and it is pretty... It's pretty harsh, and it's also pretty vague, and it was actually put into place and used heavily and extensively in World War I to shut up journalism critique and what was basically determined to be un-American activity by different people. It was actually used to jail different people who were running for the office of president. It has a very long and storied past, and it basically removes a lot of the protection for free speech, and the problem with it is that it is so generally vague that a person who has the appropriate power, for instance the president or whoever else, can enact it, can really kind of abuse it if they want. And even if you 100% agree with everything any current administration at whatever time you're listening to this is doing, imagine somebody that you absolutely despise, as somebody who is completely antithetical to everything you ever believed, is in office right now. And for some people that actually has happened right now. But, you know, they're completely antithetical to anything that you believe. They have that power. Versus somebody who believes everything that you do, and they have that power. Either way, having that amount of power and having that amount of unchecked power is incredibly dangerous. I wouldn't want to give a smoking gun to anybody, no matter what their base was and no matter how they reacted. So I really kind of think that before we start pulling up old legislation that has shady history, and before we start, you know, talking about doing these nasty things in public, I think there really needs to be a little bit of a check down of the American media, and really, I don't know. This entire thing is getting ridiculous, and I really kind of hope it works out soon. All right, now the only kind of good thing that we're going to talk about with the tech here is the military is now banning disks, and they're threatening court martials to stop the leaks. Well, here's the thing. If you are in charge with keeping classified documents and you leak those classified documents, guess what? This is not a whistleblower kind of protection, even though the United States has a lot of whistleblower laws there. You know, you're basically violating the trust that was given you, and I understand that. And I understand that you can be court-martialed, and that's the risk that somebody takes to do these kinds of things. However, if you flip it around on the other side, we're now saying that the people who share these documents are more culpable than the people who are leaking them, and that's a little bit dangerous, because then you're starting to get into actually attacking the papers as opposed to attacking the people who you happen to give clearance to unnecessarily, shall we put. And there's a lot of different things that are being put out. The U.S. military is telling troops universally to stop using CDs, DVDs, thumb drives, and every other form of removable media, or face a court-martial. There's a lot of pros and cons about this. On the one hand, a secure environment does not allow removable media. I know from having relatives that have worked in the banking industry, guess what? You're not allowed to bring in any of that stuff. I can't imagine why they would allow it in the military and not allow it in the banking industry, except, you know, maybe they wanted to keep things secret, or they didn't want information or viruses getting out. This is a prime vector for inviting viruses. So a lot of the different things that... you really need to check out the article over at CNN. It says 60% of the military machines are now connected to a security system that allows for checks for anomalous behavior, which is a good thing if you're running a military and you want to make sure nobody's downloading thousands and thousands of files like this happened. So the only thing is that there's actually good reasons why you would want to allow the use of removable media. For instance, if you had machines that were kept off the network to remove the attack vectors on them and to limit the access to them, then that's the only way to get new information to them. So There's a lot of different stuff, and there's a lot of pros and cons, and I'm kind of on the fence about what I would actually allow on a military machine, so it's really kind of interesting to see where this is heading. Now I'm stepping off the soapbox and finding a bunch of other cool stuff to talk about, so hopefully didn't irritate too many people, and we're going to try and not harp on things as often, but you know, now that we got the box, we might as well stand on it every once in a while. All right, the force is with you, Katie. There's an incredibly touching story of a little girl named Katie Goldman who is, I think she's 7 years old, and she brought a Star Wars bottle to school. Kids in her school bullied her and basically said that Star Wars was a boy thing. She came home, she was very despondent, and she was basically very upset. Her mom then contacted, she wrote a blog about it, which... as good and as fantastic as sharing experiences about raising your kids on a blog can be, I honestly think that necessarily it could be damaging to the kids down. It's like, well, what, your mom going to run home and blog about this now? Everything is an attack vector when you're a kid. Let's just put it that way. So it's kind of fun because she reached out to the online community, and she actually reached out to the school. Not only were the kids... basically course corrected, and she was allowed to do this, but there was a huge outpouring of support, and geek girls from all over the internet basically came out and showered affection upon this girl, who's now donating a whole bunch of the toys that she got from different charities. The story overall, if you've ever been the victim of bullying, which I was, and really honestly and truly, I'm not talking about somebody might have said something mean to you in school or something like that. That is how it starts. I'm talking like it can ruin your life. And if you've never been the victim of it, it's really hard to explain it to other people. I'm not going to go into it here because it's a sappy story and who really cares? I turned out all right in the end. I had a fantastic support system at home and the schools did their job for the most part every once in a while. So... beyond all the bullying tragedies, the story is incredibly touching, especially to geeks who have felt disaffected and kind of left out by the societal norms that surround them. The funny and cool thing about this is that the internet has really allowed a lot of fringe groups and a lot of people who don't necessarily have a lot of people who were like you are in any one physical location to reach out. How many people do you think in my general neighborhood are crazy about podcasting? I'm going to tell you, there's not a whole lot, but I've met people all over the internet who are just as bat loco as I am, and that's something that feeds my passion and allows me to keep doing this. So I mean, even like, you know, just reaching out and seeing geek themed things all around, it's like, you know, we are legion to a certain extent, and any underperforming minority is as well. It's really wonderful to be able to reach out and find like-minded people to find a support group, so it's just really cool to see that. All right, switching gears over to more of a graphic identity kind of thing. Apparently, Comedy Central took all the central and less of the comedy when they changed their logo. It looks like a cross between the copyright symbol and the copy left symbol. Imagine a small C in the inside of a reversed other C, and they have Comedy Central written under it. Comedy is right side up, central is upside down and backwards and mirrored. It's very stark, very plain. It allows for a lot of really interesting things. Here's what they said. Our logo has changed. No longer do you see the big buildings in the globe? Quite literally, it said Comedy Central on top of it. Please welcome the new mark. Affectionately call it the Comedy Mark. It works way effing better than any the other one we had. By building the globe, by the buildings in the globe, you served us well, but we've moved on. This is really kind of a maturation of what Comedy Central does, and I really like it. I think it's starting to grow on me. When I first saw it, I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. But the more that I'm looking at it, the more I'm seeing how they're using it, they're actually using it as kind of like an above and to the right, similar to a copyright symbol, but not because it's Comedy Central symbol. I love the branding implications of it, so I just wanted to pass it along and wonder what you thought of it. So it's kind of interesting. All right, one of my favorite magazines is Wired. Again, keeping in the graphic identity kind of vein, over at onepagemagazine.com/wired, they have a fantastic thing where it took an old issue of Wired from back in 2007, takes 67 pages of advertising and lifted all of the logos directly off those advertisements, and then placed all of the logos on a single page overlaid so that you could see their placement in relative location on the page over the entire magazine and how they would have shown up. It's kind of like a heat map for the different brands that actually bought advertising. And the funny and cool thing about it is my favorite brand of scotch, the Glenlivet, is right up front and personal in there. So you can't really see all over them, but it's kind of an interesting little piece, and I just wanted to share it with the group. Now, we've had a lot of serious, a lot of crazy stuff here at the podcast, but over at supermarkethq.com, they have a crazy air plant pod. It basically looks a little bit like a cephalopod from another dimension kind of teleporting in, and you see the tentacles reaching in. It's really weird, really freaky, and you get apparently one planter for $32. I kind of like it, but $32 for an upside down pot is not really my style. That's about it. Moving right along, again at a really good clip, we have a Seussian version of Star Wars. Yes, Theodore Geisel would be proud. This is Dr. Seuss Does Star Wars. So basically somebody by the name of Adam Watson, a cartoonist, re-envisioned the story of Star Wars, or several varied sections of Star Wars, as drawn by Dr. Seuss himself, and then rhymed a whole bunch of stuff. The first thing that they have up there is actually a little funny version of Yoda. It looks a little fuzzy on this one. It says, "This body is old, and that's all I've got. When 900 you reach, look so good you will not." So it's the same kind of theme, and they have a whole bunch of other illustrations in there that are just really cool. The only one that I honestly don't like is Han Solo looks a little bit goofy. He doesn't look at Seussian, whereas all of the other characters really seem to. And Jabba the Hutt is absolutely perfect as a slug-like fat Grinch, and it's just hilarious. So you really need to head on over there and check it out. It's pretty cool. It's called themightyadam.blogspot.com. All right, I've been abusing the ever-living poo out of this one. Google rocks a call from Santa. So basically using as an advertisement for Google Voice Services, sendacallfromsanta.com allows you to send a personally recorded message from the big red guy to anybody you want who has a phone number. They don't have to have a Google Voice number. You can call it. They will leave it on an answering machine. It is hilarious. You can go through, and as long as you get the stuff right, you can end up having everything from basically, "I've heard that you, hello, so-and-so, I've heard you've been a good girl this year, and this is a message from your friend Paul." And then you can go through and you can have it set up like giving things like you're leaving milk and cookies out there, you're leaving Baba Ganoush out there, a bottle of Jack. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different funny things. Everything's tongue-in-cheek, and it is really well done. So hats off to the gentleman over at Google and Google Voice for putting this together and for having a name recognition software that actually does a pretty good job recognizing most names that you can put into it. So I sent my parents one from the cat, asking for a new job for my mom. I sent sent one of my guy friends, Santa's going to give him a new pair of stilettos just for fun. I sent one to my wife, who Santa's going to get her a new car. Unfortunately, Santa's a little bit slow on that one. And we also had a really good one. We made it look like the cat was a covert operative, and we sent Santa... we sent my son a phone call. No, he doesn't have a cell phone, but we had it call the house, and we put it on speaker. It says, "Hello, Paul. This is Santa here speaking, and I have a message from your cat that said that you've been a very good boy this year." And he ate it up. He absolutely loved it. So if you have some time to play around with this, you could either check out the NORADSanta.com or sendacallfromsanta.com and get in on playing around with people. All right, now the next little thing we got for you here. Hollywood isn't just out of ideas. They've reached rock bottom and started to dig. So not only are they rehashing old things like so many of the different movies that are out there right now, and they're kind of butchering history as it is, but they now actually have a movie that is going to... I can't get into this. There's no way I actually think that this is going to work. It's called Real Steel. It stars Hugh Jackman, who went from Wolverine to this, and it's based on, I shudder to say, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. The only thing I can say is this looks... the visuals look interesting. Looks like you're going to have to unplug your mind and just enjoy the visuals. This is going to be like a blowing stuff up, robots hitting robots kind of thing. There's not going to be any really deep plot. I just can't believe they're actually mining Rock'em Sock'em Robots for a plot. So I guess it's no worse than eking four movies out of a ride at Disney, but hey, you know, who knows? All right. Now, the next little thing that we got up for you here, I couldn't believe when I saw this. You usually don't see too many things from Neil Armstrong. You hear a lot from Buzz Aldrin. You hear a lot from any of the other astronauts that are out there. But Neil Armstrong usually stays out of politics and stays out of a lot of things. The only thing he's recently come out to do is actually kind of slam Obama for, you know, his treatment of the space agency, which I very much agree with Neil Armstrong on. I think the space exploration is the last frontier, and not to do too much Star Trek impersonation there. But, you know, it is truly the final frontier. There is no other place that you're going to get that kind of explorative zeal. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that in the long run. But the really cool thing is over at Discovery.com, they actually had a long article and a long discussion with Neil Armstrong himself. It says that, you know, he actually started answering questions and started talking about a lot of the different things that happened on the moon mission itself. So it was crazy. I mean, this is a really, really cool and beautiful exploration into the mind of the first person to ever step foot on another planet, and this or another celestial body at this point. But it's just crazy. And then they actually talked about, you know, like, why didn't you go further? And that brought me along to the next little article, which is over at NPR. It's just how far did you go? And if you really check out most of their travel took place, if you wanted to put it on a football pitch, took place in one half of the field. Or if you wanted to put it on a baseball diamond, it took place in between first and third, with the pitcher's mound being where they landed. There was one trip out to center field halfway through the shindig, and that was the only time that they ever left TV broadcast, and that was just because Neil Armstrong really wanted to take pictures of a certain rock escapement that he saw. So beyond all that, it was just really cool, and that one article led me into a lot of other scale figures. Basically, they referenced a site that was really, really cool, and basically it took whatever disaster, whatever incident was around, and it mapped it onto things that you were familiar with. So, for instance, it's called howbigreally.com, and you can head on over there. It's run by the BBC, and you can take, like, you know, the War on Terror, you can take depths, you can take ancient worlds. It shows you where different walls were, environmental disasters. How big would the Gulf oil spill look if it was actually at your house? I mean, that's what they're talking about. So this is just really cool. Like, for instance, they also have cities in history. What did Beijing look like in 1425? Athens during the Peloponnesian War. I mean, these are really cool things that are just kind of out of scale with what you would think. And scale is something that's really hard. It's like, okay, you know what? It's as big as Montana. Well, how big is Montana? I've never seen it. I've heard it's big, but, you know, how big is it really? Well, if it overlays it on top of geography that I'm currently familiar with, then I have a little bit better of an idea. So it's really cool to kind of just stretch your brain just a little bit. All right, now the next little thing we got for you here, is it really worth it to print your own photos? Well, if you have a good color printer, and the convenience does certainly factor into it, but what about the cost of ink? It's something I've been kind of working with over at our house, because we do have an incredibly fantastic printer, but it goes through ink like anything when we're printing a lot of photos. So, but the thing is, the photos are so beautiful that it really looks like I actually either printed them on an incredibly high-quality photo that printer, like at work or something else, but I mean, it really does take it to the next level. But this article from over at lifehacker.com actually gives you access to a spreadsheet. So if you have a normal photo printer — I don't, unfortunately, have a normal photo printer, so this really doesn't work for me — but you can actually check out the yield. So it's how many pages per cartridge you get, and then versus the cost of the cartridges versus the cost of paper. And it does all the calculations and shows you the cost for 4x6, the cost for 8x10, and does this stack up against the costs of printing it like Snapfish or any of the other ones that are online. So it's a really cool resource, and I thought I'd share with the group. All right, we've talked about Child's Play Charity before. This is the last little thing we got for you here in the Geekcraft section of the Caffeination Podcast. We've talked about the Child's Play Charity, which is a charity that's near and dear to my heart. Basically, it really allows children who are sick and stuck in the hospital a chance to be a kid. I cannot say enough about it, rather. And I would just highly suggest that you head on over to childsplaycharity.org and check it out, because it is like gamers giving back to the community. So It's really, really cool. But beyond that, there's now a new way that you can donate to the charity as well as get a little something for yourself. It's called the Humble Indie Bundle. It consists of 5 games, and it allows you to pay whatever you want for these games. If you bought them all together, it would be $85. But you can pay anywhere from like $5 on up to however much you give. And not only that, but you get to choose how much money goes to the developers, how much money goes to the Electronic Freedom Foundation, how much money goes to Child's Play, and how much money goes to the people who set this up. This is a really good way to donate and get a little something back on your own. So thought that was awesome. I am going to be finding a way to work this into the budget and make my own little donation through this. And I highly suggest that if that's not something that you'd like to do, that you at least consider heading on over to the childsplaycharity.org and checking out what they got going. It's run by the guys who started Penny Arcade, and it is really, really cool to check out what they're able to do. And guaranteed, there's a hospital in your general area. So, all right. Moving along to the food and caffeinated bits section, just to help you out here, we got the first thing up. These are probably some of the simplest cookie cutters I have ever seen, but I've never seen them before. These are Pac-Man cookie cutters. They're officially licensed, and they're ridiculously simple. The only funny thing is that they actually sell different cookie cutters for the different ghosts. There's 4 ghosts, but they sell 3 ghost cookie cutters, which I don't understand, because all the ghosts are the same shape. It's not really going to change anything. For roughly £12, I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work out to dollars. Probably something like 48. Just kidding. It's probably something like $24. You can get officially licensed Pac-Man, so it's really cool. But sorry, they're actually equating it to $19 as opposed to $24. So I guess the exchange rate's a little bit better right now. And you get to cut your own. Of course, it has the Pac-Man symbol, and you can make your very own ones along with all kinds of different cookie goodies for Christmas. So I'm not sure if you have enough time to get that in, but hey, there's always time for cookies. All right, now the next little thing, I'm not usually somebody who ever gloats about sports achievements, because all you have to do is wait until the next time a game is played and it gets rubbed right back in your face. So I honestly did think, for those of you who are familiar with the baseball world, that Cliff Lee was going to go back to the Rangers. And it just made sense, because when I was setting up this episode and this thing came across on the over the weekend, there was actually a coffee-related story. Apparently one of the baristas who lives in Arkansas, where Cliff Lee lives, actually thought he should have gone back to the Rangers as well, because when he served him his traditional latte, he put a latte art Texas tea up in the center of it. And I thought it was incredibly well done, despite the fact how it turned out, and he unfortunately went to the Philadelphia Phillies. Well, unfortunate if you are a fan of anybody but the wonderful fighting Philadelphia Phillies, then that's how it all worked out. But it's still cool, it's still latte art, and it still has kind of a little bit of kitsch value at this point, even though the whole thing's over and done with. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is a prom dress out of coffee filters. One girl, her name is Amy Kick. She lives in Missouri in the United States, and she made an entire prom dress out of different coffee filters. Apparently, they look unbleached, and she made the jewelry for her prom gown out of coffee beans. They're really cool. Let's just hope it doesn't rain. No matter what you think, this is like definitely on the par with some of the stuff you'd see on like America's Next Top Designer or whatever it is. Project Runway, that's the one where they design the clothes. I don't know. My wife watches a whole bunch of them, and I check in every once in a while. It's just not something I'll sit down and watch. All right. Next little thing that we got for you here is from over at Jim7.com. James Hoffman went through something called cupping from raw to ready, where he basically went through a roasting process on a set of beans and cupped them at definite intervals going through the process, from completely green to burnt to a crisp. And he showed like the beautiful, wonderful color of gradient that you can produce by brewing the coffee and sifting it after you actually cupped it, so that you actually get a different, you can actually see the clear thing going through. There's a wonderful article. It explains it a lot more in detail over at Jim7.com. But he also broke out his Extract Mojo, which basically does a little bit of color. I'm trying to actually figure out exactly what it does, but it basically talks about the different I think the amount of particles suspended in the solution at that point in time, to how clear the actual solution is. So it's really cool to see how clear it is and how many parts per million or the amount of extraction that goes along between each one. So anywhere from 6 minutes in to 15 minutes in on his roaster, it's really, really interesting. The problem with these kind of things is I'm looking at it and it's just so above my head with some of the roasting stuff. It's like I'm very, very much a neophyte fight Roaster, and one of the things that I have on my wish list is actually a much better actual dedicated roaster as opposed to using the coffee pop or the poppery, because the poppery works fantastic, don't get me wrong, but it's hard to do a large batch of coffee in it. So I'd much rather do a larger batch. That way I could do, you know, gift giving and could, you know, sell it to people if they really wanted. I've had people offer to say, hey man, can you roast me a pound of coffee? I like the way it tasted, and, you know, just tell me what it costs. It's like, well, yeah, it's hard to do the entire batch of coffee, and it really kind of stresses you out when you're trying to make sure everything in all of the four different batches that it takes to roast up to get that amount of coffee done, and make sure they all end up in the right area. So I'm not quite there yet, but I think I might be saving up towards a much better coffee roaster. So we'll see where that all ends up. All right, and then we have two little articles that from a wonderful website called the Caffeination Podcast, or just caffeination.com. The first up is my review of the Urnex Clean Caff. Now, if you remember a little while ago, I reviewed Urnex Grinds, which is an additive to your grinder that allows you to clean out a lot of the oils and stuff. It was all right, but it really didn't pass muster as far as cost. The Clean Caff is something that you actually put into the coffee maker and then run a series of different batches of water through it to clean it out after the fact. I used it on the Beast, my coffee machine in work, and I gotta tell you, I was stunned at the amount of junk that came out of this thing. It's really beautiful to see a nice clean coffee maker in my office once more, and it really kind of is embarrassing that it ever got that dirty. But you know, there's a comic that's taped to the top of it. It's Garfield and John. John makes a cup of coffee and gives it to Garfield. Garfield sips it. Then John asks how it is, and Garfield responds all tweaked out, his eyes all bugged out of his head, and says, well, it got the job done. That's what this coffee maker does. I explained that a little in the review. It gets the job done. That's all the coffee maker is ever supposed to do. And I got to tell you, the difference from before when I was cleaning it relatively, you know, every once in a while to now is night and day. The first pot of stuff that came out of it, when I poured the clean caff in it and then poured it out, it actually looked so dark that it was coffee. This is pouring clear water in with a little bit of an additive. Dark black water came out. That's bad juju. Either that, or I probably could have poured a pot of coffee in there and actually gotten a pot of coffee out. So double coffee. All right, so there goes the backup batch. And then the next really cool thing is the gift of clean coffee. The fine folks over at Urnex actually have a kit available for purchase called 1-2 Brew. Here's the idea. You get a clean calf cleaner, a package of it. You get a Descal descaler for people who have calcium deposit problems. And then you also get a sample of the Grinds grinder cleaner. And as well as you also get a coffee scoop and a space for a bag of coffee. Thank you ever so much to the fine folks at Urnex for sending me all those products, and at the same point in time, they also really did a good job because they didn't end up putting crap coffee in there, for lack of a better term. I've seen so many different things like this where they'll try and package a whole bunch of stuff up. Urnex does one thing good. They make clean coffee. So beyond that, if you want to make coffee clean, fine. Let the people who know the good things about coffee put the good coffee in there. So it's a great gift. It's only coming in at $20, and you might still have time to get it in for Christmas. So it's just something I wanted to pass along to the group, and thank you ever so much to the fine folks at Urnex for allowing me to review your products. It was a wonderful and fun thing. All right, that about wraps it up here for episode number 466, the cyclical edition. Every time I start, something stops me, so here we go, and there we are. All right, thank you ever so much for staying here. If you're looking for this podcast, it can be found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you are looking to send me comments, feedback, whatever else you feel like, shoot it over to caffeination@gmail.com. The phone number is 215-240-1319. Twitter.com/caffeination. We have a Facebook fan page. You can get this via RSS directly, via iTunes, via Zune. Everything's over at the website. And if you have a problem, just email me and I'll tell you how to do it. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.